Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got an all-Illinois show for you guys today as we continue our college football previews and our NFL previews as well. We're talking with Jeremy Warner coming up in a little bit, talking about the Fighting Illini. We're also going to look at the Chicago Bears today as we start our NFC North previews. We're going to break down some of the games on the baseball slate coming up a little bit later as well. Shane Jackson going to join us. We'll give out our best bets of the day. A lot going on this Friday. As always, we want to hear from you guys here on the BetMGM Network. You can hit us up at our socials at BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on Instagram as well. And we'd love for you guys to chime in. Any questions that you have on Illinois football, the Chicago Bears, anything Major League Baseball, maybe NBA Summer League that's on your mind, let us know and we'll get to it over the next 30 minutes. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, you can check out the Send It In podcast. All of the college football NFL previews that we do are on the podcast. You guys can go check it out, so make sure you give that a look wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Friday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Jeremy Warner. Give him a follow on X at jwerner247, Illinois Inquirer.com, 24/7 sports as well. Jeremy, great having you on, man. This Illinois team, a lot of people are excited about the Illini for the upcoming season. Since you've been covering the team, can you ever remember a season with this much excitement coming into it?
Definitely not. I mean, I was in school for the 2007 Rose Bowl team, and there's a lot of excitement after even Rashard Mendenhall, Jay Layman, some of the stars of that team moved on because you had Juice Williams, Regis Benn. But no one was thinking college football playoff or, you know, top 10 team going into that year. But there's a lot of excitement about Illinois, but there is also a little bit of, you know, cautious, negativity, because Illinois, whenever they've had a great season in recent memory, it followed it up with a really disappointing one. 2001, the Sugar Bowl, they followed that up with a 5-win season, miss a bowl game. After that 2007 season where they made the Rose Bowl, they followed that up with a 5-win season. 2022, you don't got to go back that far. Brett Bielema has this breakthrough year. Illinois starts 7-1. They stumbled down the stretch, but an 8-win season was huge for this program. But then they followed that up with a 5-win season and missed a bowl game by 1 win. So there's a lot of history of Illinois following up good seasons with poor seasons. But I do think Brett Bielema has really solidified this roster to a point where there should be high hopes for this team. There should be talk of this is a college football playoff contender that could be the fifth, fourth, or team like that in the Big Ten, because they return 18 of the 22 starters that beat a team that a lot of people thought should have been in the college football playoff last year in South Carolina. And they did it without their best player, Pat Bryant, who's the third round pick of the Denver Broncos. So to get your quarterback back, Luke Altmyer, to get your entire offensive line back, and to get most of your playmakers back from the back eight of your defense, plus you get your head coach back, you get your offensive coordinator back for a fourth year, you get your defensive coordinator back for a third year. There's just so much continuity that they should build on last year, whether that's an 8-win season or a 10 or 11-win season, we'll see. But I do think Illinois' floor is very high, and that if everything goes right, this could be a team we're talking about as one of the top 12 teams after the end of the regular season.
Yeah, no question. And obviously, Jeremy, I mean, the era that we're in, it's rare that you have this much continuity, right? This many returning pieces coming back for another year in college football. Of those 18 returning starters that you mentioned who are coming back, who are like the one or maybe two players that you really think are the most pivotal to this year's team success that are returning?
Yeah, whenever you talk about a team and who's returning, it's got to start with the quarterback, right? And that's Luke Altmyer. And I think anybody who's making a list of top returning quarterbacks in the Big Ten has to have Luke Altmyer in the top two or three. He was such a competitive advantage for them last year. The Big Ten wasn't rolling deep in a lot of quarterbacks, but I would say he was the fourth or fifth guy. And while he had Dillon Gabriel, Drew Aller, a lot of good quarterbacks in the Big Ten, Luke was as valuable as any of them. And he was a good player throughout most of games, but his numbers in the fourth quarter and in the clutch were truly elite. He had an 171 passer efficiency rating in their 6-1 score games in the fourth quarter, had 3 game-winning touchdown passes in the final 2 minutes of regulation or overtime, just made big plays with both his arms and his arm and his legs. And he just returns for a third year just so confident, so comfortable, and just having the continuity of being in the same offense, the same offense coordinator for a third year is massive. Now, he's got a bunch of new targets he's got to throw to, with Pat Bryant now in the NFL, Zachary Franklin now in the NFL. But Illinois went to the transfer portal, got Hudson Clement, the leading receiver from West Virginia, Justin Bullock, who had a couple huge games for Ball State. And they have some guys that are coming up through the ranks, Colin Dixon, Hank Beatty, who they think can take a step forward. But Luke just gives them such a high floor as somebody who's a stable quarterback and somebody that Tennessee really wanted to get during the offseason. And Luke stayed true to Illinois despite Tennessee having more, you know, obviously, money to give him. Luke stayed here at Illinois. He's getting big money at Illinois too, but he could have left, but he loves the comfort at Illinois, and he thinks he can set himself up best for the NFL at Illinois.
Jeremy, what area do you think is Illinois the strongest at? You mentioned they returned their entire offensive line. They got returners all over the defense. We just talked about Altmyer at quarterback. Which area, if you had to solo out one, do you think is the best on this Illinois roster?
The one thing I would say is the coaching staff is an advantage. I just don't think there's a lot of coaching staffs that if you give them the same talent, they're going to outcoach Illinois. Like Oregon, Indiana, I think are in that discussion. But I do think Brett Bielema and his staff are really strong. So to return all that they have on the staff is huge. But I would say the secondary. Xavier Scott was a first team all Big Ten selection, could have been a mid round draft pick this past year, but he plays that nickel position for Illinois and is all over the field, changed the game against Kansas last year, but is one of their top cover guys, you know, sticky in coverage, but also physical. And then Matthew Bailey returns at strong safety. And he really, after missing the 2023 season, became a star in the back half of the season. I think he could really take off as somebody who makes plays on the ball, both in run support and in coverage. He's kind of like a hybrid linebacker safety at 6'2", 215 pounds, can cover tight ends, but it's all over the field. And then they return their 3 other starters elsewhere in the secondary. So that is a huge strength of this team. The big key is they have to replace all their starters and their top 4 guys on the defensive line, but they went to the transfer portal, got James Thompson Jr., Kurt Neal from Wisconsin, added some nice pieces to help complement Gabe Backus, who's one of the best pass rushers in college football on the outside.
We're talking with Jeremy Werner here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at jwerner247. The schedule, Jeremy, is also why so many people are high on the Illini for the upcoming season. Obviously, all the returning production, the fact that they're coming off of a 10-win season. But you look at their schedule, no Penn State, no Michigan, no Oregon this season. Obviously, Ohio State's going to be a difficult game, but they play them at home in Champaign. So outside of the Ohio State game, because that's definitely the game you look at, probably going to be the toughest one to win. What's the other game on the schedule that you think could be the toughest, that you think could be the most pivotal to Illinois wanting to have another really good season?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they have seven of their Big Ten opponents finish under 500 in the Big Ten last year. This is a schedule that does set up to have a special season if you take advantage of it. That said, it's the Big Ten. It's difficult games week after week, probably a lot of close games, which Illinois won a lot of close games last year, 5-1 in one score games. Can they repeat that? Do they have luck last year? Does that swing the other way? But I think that the early part of the schedule isn't easy. They have Duke in week two, a road game at Duke, who won nine games last year, and they just added Darian Mensah, quarterback from Tulane, who was, you know, one of the top transfer quarterbacks in the country last year. So they upgraded, they think, from Malik Murphy. They spent a lot of money to get Mensah. So I'm interested to see. That's a huge test early on the road. And then your Big Ten opener is at Indiana, a team that was just in the college football playoff. I know they have a ton to replace, but they also landed a big-time quarterback in Mendoza out of the transfer portal. So I think those two out of that first four games on the road are really difficult and will really set the tone of this season. Reminds me of last year when Illinois had Kansas, who was a ranked team in week two, come to Illinois, and then Nebraska on the road to open the Big Ten. Those weren't two easy games, but Illinois found a way to win two close games to start them 4-0. That's what kind of set the mark for their confidence and, you know, just that they could be that kind of team the rest of the way. So I look at those two games because you have seven straight games to start the year before an off week, and they're the hardest games that they have, I think, on the schedule for the most part. And then I do think a trip to Washington is a sneaky hard one. Demon Williams is a really good player, and Ryan Walters is the former Illinois defensive coordinator who played Illinois really well when he was at Purdue. So I do think that's a sneaky one, but the back five games are really advantageous for Illinois, but they got to get through some of those tough early tests, especially on the road.
I agree with you, though. That Duke-Indiana game certainly going to be interesting those first 4 weeks of the season. At BetMGM, Jeremy, the win total for the Illini is at 8.5. For people that want to bet the over, think that Illinois is going to win nine or more games, it's plus 145. So odds makers think Illinois is going to go 8-4 this season, which I think is going to surprise a lot of people again, considering all the returning production, considering the schedule, and the fact that this team won 10 games last year. Vegas has seen about 8-4 out of Illinois. What's your prediction for the upcoming season? What do you think their record's going to be?
Yeah, that 8.5 number is really, really hard for me. Because, listen, I think Illini fans are shooting for 10, right? You win 10 in the Big Ten, I think you have a great chance to make the college football playoff. I just think that's really hard, and I just wonder if some of the close game, you know, wins they had last year without a Pat Bryan on the roster, do those turn the other way? Just does it come back towards you a little bit? When it was at 7.5, I was taking the over. At 8.5, I'm really not confident even picking a number there, because in my preseason predictions, I think today I'd lean towards 9-3, but I'm still considering 8-4. And I think that'd be a really good year for Illinois. It'd be disappointing when you go in with some college football playoff hope. And I do think they're capable of 10. But yeah, I just think it's hard to win games in the Big Ten. And Duke and Indiana early on in the schedule, USC is very talented coming to Champaign. But I do think this team has a really high floor. So I was over the 7.5. That 8.5 makes it more difficult for me.
I like it. I mean, we talk about all the time on the show about grabbing those numbers. 7.5, good bet. 8.5 feels like the perfect number. Great stuff, Jeremy Werner. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at jwerner247. IllinieInquirer.com, 24/7 sports as well. Jeremy, love the insight, man. Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your summer and hope to catch up during the season.
You guys too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff there. Jeremy Werner talking a little Illinois football. Now it is time for us to dive in to the Illini schedule. And again, right, we did all these previews last year. We've already done some previews this year. And ever since this conference realignment, we get a couple teams just like Illinois, where the schedule on paper, advantageous, right? Avoid Michigan, avoid Oregon, avoid Penn State. Really the only top-tier team that Illinois plays on their schedule is Ohio State, and they get them at home. but I think a lot of those road games are going to be challenging, right? And Jeremy talked about it. The week two game at Duke, that just feels like a trappy, scary, ugly game that Illinois's got to be careful of. How about the road trip to Bloomington to take on Indiana to kick off Big Ten play? That could be a tricky game as well. Then, of course, traveling across the country, playing Washington in Seattle. We had Clayton Safey talking about Michigan on Wednesday. Gave us that great stat. Teams traveling multiple time zones in the Big Ten last year, 6-27. That's not going to be an easy game for Illinois playing out there in Seattle. And then how about the game against Wisconsin in Camp Randall, second to last week of the season? Even though Wisconsin's got a really hard schedule, they're not going to be one of the top-tier teams in the Big Ten. Camp Randall, never an easy place to play. Obviously, a rivalry game between Illinois and Wisconsin. So that could be tricky as well. That win total sitting at 8.5 is so interesting, isn't it? Because Illinois was a 10-win team last season. They returned 18 starters. They're one of the most experienced teams. They're one of the most experienced teams in all of college football, but also one of the teams that return the most production of any team there is in college football. You just don't see that nowadays in the NIL era. A team return 18 starters, especially a team that won 10 games, bringing back all that production. And the fact that their win total is at 8.5, and not only is it at 8.5, but the over is +145. That to me feels like a trap, you guys. It really does. It feels like it's too easy. I mean, with the schedule, the production, the amount of wins that they had last year, there were a couple teams that remind me of Illinois from last season. You know, a lot of people were high on Virginia Tech last year. They go under the win total. A lot of people were high on Missouri last year. They go under the win total. A lot of people were high on Iowa last year. They go under the win total. Clemson, they go under the... It just feels like Illinois is another one of those teams where we're all trying to hit that long shot. We're all trying to find that team that's +500, +800 to make the playoff, 40-1 to win their conference. We're all looking for that long shot. And I think Illinois is going to be amongst one of the most popular long shots that people take this season for a lot of reasons, right? There is a lot to like with this Illinois team. But again, they're not going to be sneaking up on anybody this year. People know how experienced they are, how good that they are going to be this season. And even though they necessarily don't play some of the bigger brands in the Big Ten, they don't play some of the most talented rosters, don't overlook some of those tricky road games that they have, like we were talking about, at Duke, at Indiana, at Wisconsin, at Washington, and then obviously the home game against Ohio State as well. So it's going to be tough for Illinois. I will point out, too, another thing that's really advantageous for their schedule. Illinois is the first team that I've seen this season that's only playing one team who is coming off their bye, and that's Purdue. That's the only team. I feel like all the other teams that we've previewed so far, they have at least two or three games on their schedule where they're playing teams that are coming off their bye week, so they get 2 weeks to prep for whatever team they're playing. Illinois is only going to have to deal with that one time this season. Purdue is going to be the only team that plays Illinois coming off the bye week. So there is a lot to like with Illinois, and yet for a team that won 10 games last year, their win total is at 8.5, and it's +145. I would bet the under. I would bet the under, or I would pass for me if I was looking at the Illini. All right, let's look at the Chicago Bears now as we stay in the state of Illinois, but talk a little Chicago Bears. Also a lot of team with some excitement around them coming in to the upcoming season as we start our NFC North previews. When you look at the Chicago Bears, I mean, what immediately jumps out to me is the road schedule. Look at the road schedule that the Chicago Bears have for the upcoming season. At the Lions week 2, at the Raiders week 4, at the Commanders week 6, then how about at the Ravens, at the Bengals, back-to-back week 8, week 9, obviously at the Vikings playing in the NFC North, then you got to play at Philadelphia, at Green Bay, at San Francisco as well to wrap up the road schedule. That's got to be the toughest road schedule in the NFL. The Bears aren't going to be favored in any of those games except probably the game against Las Vegas. And even then, that game's probably going to be close to a pick-em, maybe Bears -1.5, -2. Brutal road schedule. And even though on paper they have some easy home games, right? Home against the Giants, home against the Saints, home against the Browns. It's the NFL. And any given week, obviously the Bears could go down. And even like you take the Browns game, for example, right? We're on paper. Chicago's probably going to be close to a touchdown favorite. Look at what an awful scheduling spot that is for the Bears going up against Cleveland late in the season. You got to go on the road and play the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. Then you got to play your division rival in the Packers on the road as well. Then you get the Packers 2 weeks from then, and sandwiched in between that is a home game against the Cleveland Browns. You guys know me. Those are the spots I love betting against in the NFL. I can already tell you I'll probably be on Cleveland in week 15 against the Chicago Bears. But for me, it's the schedule for Chicago, which is why I don't want to bet anything with the Bears, because I think there is a lot to like with this team for the upcoming season. On paper, their offense should be terrific. Caleb Williams obviously had no offensive line last year, had a terrible coaching staff. The receiving production was up and down, didn't really have that strong of a running presence. I love the addition of Luther Burden to go along with DJ Moore and Roman Dunze. I think that'll be awesome. They obviously get Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, and they made a big emphasis on improving the offensive line for the upcoming season, which I think is going to help Caleb tremendously. Ben Johnson, none of us know what he's going to look like as a head coach, but the guy was such a good play caller for the Lions. It's hard to imagine that he's not going to help Caleb improve. I mean, even if it's a little bit, right? So Caleb should be much improved this year. The Bears should be much improved this year. Their defense is going to be solid as well. That schedule, though, is just really, really tough. So I'm torn on the Bears because there's a part of me that thinks that maybe Chicago could be this year's Tampa Bay. Tampa kind of reminded me of their schedule last year, reminds me kind of what the Bears have this year. Obviously, the Bucks got into the playoffs, but they won one of the weakest divisions in the NFL. Because the Bears play in one of the strongest divisions in the NFL and the NFC, you could make the case for like 10 or 11 teams that could make the playoffs for the upcoming season. I just think it's too tough to bet any kind of futures on the Chicago Bears. So the win total's at 8.5, plus 110 to the over, minus 135 to the under. I'd stay away from that. Bears to make the playoffs, plus 115, yes, minus 150, no. Probably stay away from that as well. Just nothing I want to get involved with the Bears. I think if you want to bet upside and high ceiling, because I do see the Lions certainly regressing, losing both of their coordinators. They lost their center, Frank Ragnow, to retirement, which is going to be a big deal. The Vikings, you would expect them to take a step back. McCarthy, as a rookie, will be starting for them this year. There is a chance the Bears could win the division, absolutely. I think that would maybe be the one area to look to bet the Bears in the futures market, would be division at plus 500. Outside of that, though, nothing for me that I want to bet on the Chicago Bears. But man, is that road schedule difficult. Be interesting to see how many games they win away from Chicago this season. All right, let's check in with our next guest now. Joins us on the Glasser guest line, our guy Shane Jackson, who joins us each and every Friday right here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at by Shane Jackson, BetMGM writer. Shane, great to see you, man. I feel like it's been a while. You had your honeymoon, your wedding. I was out of town. It's good to see you, man. How's everything been going? Baseball season treating you well so far?
Yeah, it's great to see you. You said every Friday, and I immediately felt bad. I was like, I haven't seen PJ in like a month, so great to be on again.
True. It is, man. I know. We've just been missing each other, but great to have you back. Great to talk to you. I'm excited to talk some baseball. Loaded slate today. Bunch of great pitchers on the mound, which we'll get to in a little bit. I want to know if you're backing any of these aces that we have going today. But just looking at the board as a whole, Shane, any best bets for you today in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I like a couple of different plus money underdogs. It's too tempting to pass up the Dodgers when they're getting plus money odds. They've only been the underdog 10 times this year. They're 5-5. I'm not one to necessarily care about the pitcher splits and pitcher history, but it's at least a little bit more notable when it's against a division rival. And Logan Webb has faced the Dodgers 17 times in his career. He's 5-6 with a 4 ERA. He had a strong start earlier this year against the Dodgers, but I'll take a little bit of the history there with the Dodgers. And also, it's just a low-scoring game, and I'll take the variance with the plus money price on LA to end that six-game losing streak. And then I also like the Cubs money line to stick with your Illinois theme of the day. Nice. Another plus money price on a National League contender. The Cubs are going with a bullpen game, but I think Chris Flexen's a little bit underrated as an opener. And also, when you're betting on the Cubs, you're really betting on their lineup anyway. But Flexen has only allowed one earned run over the last four appearances, which includes four shutout innings against the Houston Astros. And I just like the Cubs against Carlos Rodon, who surrendered seven runs in five innings against the Mets last time out. He's quietly allowed 21 runs over the previous six starts. So I think projections would indicate this is a little bit closer to like plus 140 as a fair price. So I like the plus 155 odds you're getting on the Cubs right now.
Love it. A couple of plus money dogs tonight from our guy Shane Jackson, liking the Cubs, liking the Giants. I'm also going to, liking the Dodgers against the Giants tonight. I'm also going to be on the Dodgers. You brought up Logan Webb, Shane, and also Carlos Rodon. They're on the mound tonight. We also got Scooble. We got Paul Skeens on the bump. Chase Burns for the Cincinnati Reds making another start as he's maybe trying to make a case to win NL Rookie of the Year. Any of the pitchers tonight, any props that you're backing with any of the great starters that we got going?
Yeah, a lot of fun when you get so many good starters going on a Friday night. But I'll actually be the bad guy here. I'll take Chase Burns under for tonight as one of my favorite pitching props of those aces groups. I like under 16.5 outs. I think this matchup against the Colorado Rockies is viewed as kind of the breakout spot for Burns, who has an 8.1 ERA through three starts since being called up in the majors. And that's why his strikeout prop has climbed from 5.5 to 6.5 overnight. He finished with 7 Ks against the Phillies and 8 whiffs against the Yankees a couple starts ago as well. But I actually think that works in our favor for this outs prop. Deeper pitch counts means a deeper pitch count for the game. And he hasn't cleared this mark in either of his three starts. 15 outs is his most through three outings. He went 4 2/3 against the Phillies on Sunday. I think this is a chance where his stat line is going to look pretty good. But I'll bet against him getting 17 outs tonight in this game.
All right, there you go. Shane fading Chase Burns tonight. Shane, we got to talk about the AL East right now. Top four teams in the division are only separated by 5 games. Blue Jays, one of the hottest teams in baseball. They're currently on top of the AL East. We did just have the Yankees sweep Seattle, though, in a 3-game series after going on a 6-game losing streak. Who do you like to win the AL East at this point here on July 11th?
Yeah, the math would say the Blue Jays are the better bet with plus money odds, and they're leading the division, and Fangraphs and Pagoda both like their chances. But I like to go a little bit more spicier here. The Red Sox at 18-1 are probably my favorite value of the four. This is a team that I've backed all the way since the preseason. They got off to a slower start, but I think that was mostly due to variance. They were 10-19 in one-run games. Over the last 2 weeks, they've been the best offense in baseball. They do have the assets to upgrade their pitching behind Garrett Crochet. And I just think the Red Sox are playing extremely well right now. I mean, they've won 7 in a row. It's hard not to like that giant, juicy 18-1 price on the Red Sox. If you're going just from a math play, obviously you take the plus money odds on the Blue Jays. But I think 18-1 for the Red Sox is a very good value heading into the break.
I like it. You obviously like the Dodgers tonight. You told us against the Giants, getting them at plus money. The Dodgers are on a 6-game losing streak, Shane, coming into tonight. Any concern about the Dodgers? I mean, it's crazy to say concern about the Dodgers, but I mean, the injuries just continue to pile up for this team. Any concern about them moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing I kind of went spicy last question, because I'm really going to be boring here. I'm not concerned about the Dodgers. I haven't been concerned about the Dodgers in the regular season for several years now. Look no further than last year when they won 98 games. They lost as many as 5 in a row at one point in May. When healthy, this is the best team in baseball. I mean, if you're asking me if I'd feel comfortable backing them as plus 220 World Series favorites right now in July, I think that's where we get into a little more of the concerning question you're kind of alluding to. I mean, the Dodgers faced elimination twice last year before winning the World Series. They certainly have more margin for error, but I think this team is far from perfect. If anything, I'd argue that we've seen enough from this season that suggests that there's going to be plenty of parity in the back half of the season and in the playoffs as well. So I think the Tigers have been the best team in baseball, but even they, by standards of recent dominant teams, have underperformed at this point in the season. So I think we're going to get plenty of parity down the stretch. So not concerned about the Dodgers necessarily, but I do think there is an opening for the futures market down the road.
All right, very good. Always great having Shane Jackson on. Been a while since I've seen him, giving us great stuff in baseball as usual. Make sure you guys are following him on X at By Shane Jackson. Check him out. Does a great job writing for us at BetMGM. Shane, great seeing you, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next Friday.
Yeah, see you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, let's get you up to date on a promo that we have at BetMGM. It's a BetMGM Big Fly Friday. Want you to take advantage of it. The king of the big swing is making the best day of the week even sweeter. Here's how you can knock a bomb of a bonus bet into your account on Fridays throughout the season. Place your first home run bet of the day, minimum of $10 on a player, and if they have the longest home run of the day, you win a share of $100,000 in bonus bets. No opt-in necessary. Just apply your Big Fly Fridays qualifying token dropped into your account to use on the first player you take to hit a home run every Friday. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, we're wrapping up the show with PJ's plays. Before we do, and I give out going streak, and we did talk about the Chicago Bears today. Obviously, you guys know if you watch the show, our guy Shawnee Sharp, diehard Bears fan. Sean, I took it pretty easy on your Bears today. You know, I don't really know what to do with them. That schedule is brutal. I like the roster. What do you think? The Bears are going undefeated, I assume, in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, Peach, I mean, we're not going to lose a game. There's no way. But actually, no, I think you took them a lot lightly. I think you were very nice to my Bears. That schedule's brutal, man. Like, there's a world where they start out 0-4. I think the Raiders are actually going to be pretty good this year, so that wouldn't shock me. I think they'll be a really fun team to watch. I think they'll be better, and I think they'll be in a lot of games, so they'll be a good team maybe to bet when they're dogs against the spread, but I don't see how they go over the win total and make the playoffs this year. I just don't see it. That schedule's too hard.
It's going to be tough. You know, again, for a team that we haven't seen do it yet, right? So, obviously, exactly. A lot of excitement, a lot of expectation. It's going to be interesting. Schedule is brutal. Dodgers and Giants tonight. Shane told you he's on the Dodgers tonight. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I am on Freddie Freeman to get a base hit tonight against Logan Webb. Again, Logan Webb, one of the best starters in baseball, as we know, but he has struggled a little bit in 17 starts against the Dodgers. There are some guys in their order who have good history against them, including Freddie, who's 14 for 40. So give me Freddie Freeman to get a base hit as our play in going streaking. Dean Kramer is going to be our guy today, fading him as our prop lock. We're going to go over 2.5 earned runs for Dean Kramer against the Marlins. As an Orioles fan, this is just what Dean Kramer does. When he goes up against bad teams, he usually just gets shelled, and it's very annoying. Marlins lineup's been pretty good on the road here as of late. 10-2 in their last 12 road games. So give me Dean Kramer over 2.5 earned runs tonight against the Marlins. Dog of the day, I'm on the Dodgers. I'm with Shane here at plus 105. Not often you get the Dodgers as dogs. I think it obviously makes sense because the Giants are at home. Dodgers have lost 6 in a row. It's Logan Webb against Dustin May, but I think this is the perfect game for the Dodgers to snap that losing streak, get back in the win column. So give me LA at plus 105. And then my best bet, give me the Blue Jays on the run line, -1.5 against the A's. Max Scherzer against Luis Severino, that is the key. The fact that it's Luis Severino at home, he's got a 7.04 ERA at home in Sacramento. We talked about that a ton on the show this year. Whenever Severino is at home, we look to fade him. Give me the Blue Jays on the run line at -1.5. Thanks again to Jeremy Werner and also Shane Jackson for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.